The New Testament reading today comes from Hebrew 10, 11 through 14, and 19 through 25. Listen to the word. And every priest stands day after day at his service, offering again and again the same sacrifices that can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, and since then has been waiting until his enemies would be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us approach with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching.
The scripture lesson, the gospel lesson today, comes from Mark chapter 13, verses 1 through 8. Have you ever had too much stuff in your Bible and it just gets in the way? And yet you need it. You can't do without it. Hear the words of the Lord. As Jesus came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings." Then Jesus asked him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." When he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will this be, and what will be the sign that all these things are about to be accomplished?" And then Jesus began to say to them, "Beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and they will be led astray. But you hear, when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. This is but the beginning of the birth pangs." This is the word of the Lord. Well, that's cheery, isn't it? That's really an uplifting message, right? And yet, somewhere in the midst of this, God is teaching us to live in hope, even despite what may be happening in the world. Notice that when Jesus was all together with his disciples, we had those first few verses, and Jesus is saying, this mighty temple will come down. But then a little bit later, he has what sometimes we call his inner circle. It was just Peter, James, John, and Andrew, the four from the beginning, who are kind of like his inner circle. And they're the ones that feel a little bit bolder to say, "Can you tell us a little bit more about what's happening and what's going on?" It reminds us that there are times in our own lives when absolutely everything seems lost. I remember when I was talking with somebody who had just lost their job. And because they lost their job, they were going to lose their house. And because they were going to lose their house, their spouse was going to leave as well. all seemed lost. What about you? Has there been a time when everything seemed lost? When we think of the world or when we think of our nation? My dad fought in World War II, and sometimes he would talk about what that felt like and why he enlisted and why he wanted to fight, knowing that there was a good chance he would never come home. When was a time when all felt lost for you, for the world, or the nation? What about just locally, when all seems lost? It's always good to think that as we drive through town or as we go through other communities around, that the houses with the lights inside are the ones where everything is wonderful and warm and families are gathering for dinner and they're being together on excursions and going through life together. And yet we know that so many homes in our own community and communities around us are feeling shattered, like I just can't go on one more day. It happens when tragedies approach. It happens when people pull apart. It happens sometimes when there is growth. Did you notice that this passage ends? This is but the beginning of the birth pangs. Oh, there is the hope. This is not the end. It may be the end of what we think of, but it isn't the end. When I think of times when I felt completely lost, I remember that in 1965, we were living in Carmel. Do you remember the amazing Palm Sunday tornado that came through? It was headed towards Carmel and our, but it just went north of us. And this is what I remember, that in the little town of Sheridan, just north of Carmel, there was a dog farm, for lack of a better word. They raised puppies, and all of those dogs were killed. And I still remember from 1965, I still remember that. When I hear the word or hear of the town Sheridan, my first thought isn't all the wonderful things that are going on there, and there are marvelous things, but my thought is, oh, all those dogs died in that tornado. It really hit me. April the 3rd, 1974. Do you remember the tornado that especially went through Monticello? It hit our family because my uncle was serving at the Monticello United Methodist Church, and they lived there. And it took a long time until we knew that they were okay. And then, if tornadoes aren't bad enough, we all remember where we were on 9/11. When we heard the word, when we heard the news of the towers. I'll never forget it. I'll never forget that. And I know I've told you before that there is an incredible musical called Come From Away. It was in Fort Wayne not too many months ago. It's going to be in Muncie in March. It's this amazing story of a community that took in the people that couldn't land in New York City. And nobody knew why. And how that town rallied around to make sure everyone was fed and warm and clothed and entertained until they could leave again. That story, which is a true story, that story brought friendships together, because one of the women who was stuck on the island could not contact her son, who was a firefighter in New York City. And he did die in the towers. Those two women still have an amazing friendship. And both of them have visited each other, both in New York and back on the island. Oh, I'm sad that that young man died. Oh, I'm sad for the tragedy that still affects so many. And yet God says, there will always be tragedies. These things will always happen until people learn to love each other, until people learn that we are connected in so many ways and we're so much more alike than we are different. All of us, of all nationalities. But sometimes those things that we once thought were always going to be there, that were always our trustworthy, hold on fast to beliefs, are shattered. William Butler Yeats said it this way, turning and turning in the widening gyre, the falcon cannot hear the falconer. Things fall apart, the center cannot hold. Mere anarchy is loosed upon the world. The blood-dimmed tide is loosed and everywhere. The ceremony of innocence is drowned. Boy, we feel that way sometimes, don't we? The center is not holding, and innocence is lost. Jesus knew that for his disciples, some really awful things are about to happen. And he tries to explain to them. But he says, when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, don't be alarmed. Don't you think they all kind of looked at Jesus and said, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me right now? We're going to hear of wars and we're going to hear of all of these horrible things that are going to happen and you tell us not to be alarmed? That's how my mother raised me, to be alarmed when those things happen. And that yet Jesus says, do not be alarmed. There's a reason for this happening, and you may not know the reason right now. You may not ever learn the reason. But this is what you may hold fast. Jesus reminded the disciples then and all of us today, no matter what we're doing, that the way of life doesn't focus on the destruction. It doesn't focus on the bad. It doesn't focus on all of the terrible headlines. The way of life is hope, even in the midst of all of these terrible things happening. It's not God's plan. It's what we have done. It's what we've done to the world because of our selfishness, because of our desire to be the most powerful, to be the most popular, to be the one that is right all the time. Have you lived with those people before? I know not in your own homes, because none of you are like that. You are right all the time, although my father thought he was. But we know what that's like, don't we? And yet, what we learn is that it's only God who is always right. And sometimes we can be so focused on what we think are signs of the time, and we get lost in the midst. And Jesus, I believe, says, instead, remember why you are here. Remember why you are on this earth. Remember that your mission is to witness to the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's our job. Not to worry about all of these things that we can't control. We can pray about them. We can pray for the people in the midst of them. But our job is to witness to the gospel message that Jesus is Lord and Christ of all. That Jesus can live in our hearts and is living among us. And so I believe that Jesus is saying, in the midst of a disaster, whether it's a tornado or whether it is something terrible like the towers falling, in the midst of the disaster, we're not to be led astray and run like so many others and say, oh my gracious, this is the worst thing in the world. We are doomed. What can happen? It's not our job to do that. Our job is to look in the midst and to look for Jesus. Because in the midst of everything in life, whether it's tragedy or whether it's the wonderful lives that we live, Jesus is always there. And Jesus is always saying to us, come on, I'm going to show you a better way. It may not be the way you thought it would be. It may not be the same. It may not look anything like that. But I can teach you. I can teach you. In the midst of a disaster, God says, look for Jesus. Look for the ones that are working to make things right. Look for the ones that are trying to help. Look for the ones that are showing compassion and care and love. So, sometimes when we're in the midst of a disaster and when we look at our world and when we say, ah, what in the world can we do? You know, because we're in the world. How do we care for this? One of my favorite authors is Kathleen Norris. I found her book, or one of her books, years and years ago before I went to seminary, and I've always kind of picked up her books just to kind of remind myself. She once told of a young friend who had a cancer diagnosis. And this young friend kept saying, I'm just going to fight. I don't know what's going to happen. I may die, but I'm going to fight until the end. When this young friend finally did go in remission, she said, I'd never want to go back because now I know what each morning means, and I am so grateful just to be alive. See, I think that's what God says to us. In the midst of our tragedies, in the midst of our sorrows, God gives us the words of this young woman who said, I never want to go back. I never want to wish that I didn't have cancer because now I know. I know what each morning means, and I know to be grateful to be alive. Those things that sometimes I take for granted. Of course I woke up, of course. But it reminds us, how do we get to that point that even in the midst of despair, even in the midst of the worst tragedies that we can think of, how can we survive? And I believe that God says, listen for the voices. Listen for the voices of hope. Listen for the signs that God is with you. But especially, look for Jesus. Look for Jesus and focus on Jesus, who enables us to look up after disasters and claim blessings. Well, we weren't blessed because the towers fell, but we found blessings amongst the people who refused to just give up and refused to keep working. We didn't have a blessing when the tornadoes came through, but there were blessings in the midst of that. I remember taking a mission trip group to a place that a hurricane or that a tornado had come through. And that week apart with those high school kids, as they looked at the damage that they had never ever seen with their eyes before, and they worked and worked. And when you think that the damage was this big and we helped like this much of it, Sometimes people said, well, what good did you even do? You couldn't even help an entire town because you didn't have the money and the sources. But for the young men and women who were part of that mission team, it changed their lives forever. It changed their lives forever. And every once in a while, now they're all adults and they're home, quite sadly, and heartbreaking for me, their children are now having children. And yet, they will remember what that felt like. To be there for that week and help when nobody else could be there. In the midst of disasters, Jesus says, look up and claim the blessing. And yet, did you remember what I said about how this passage ends? This is but the beginning of the birth pangs. What happens after the birth pangs? New life. New life. God is reminding us that in the midst of disasters, whether it's personal or whether it's local or whether it's national or whether it's worldwide, if we are in the midst of the birth pangs, new life is coming. I've talked to so many women that after they've had their babies, they would say, oh, yes, you're right, that was a really tough thing. However, now look what we have. And we have a life that depends on us that we can teach. And we get to choose. The center will hold. As long as we remain focused on Jesus, the center will hold. And we discover that we have faithful work to do. Each and every time that we're faced with tragedy, I believe that Jesus says that this is the beginning of birth pangs. The minute that we start to worry and fuss and fear instead of get to work and pray and seek God's guidance and look for Jesus amongst everything around us, we've lost our way. Because remember our mission. We're to witness to the gospel. We're to witness to the good news. So on this day and on every day that follows, may we take this lesson that God gave us and may we remember we have faithful work to do because the center will hold. Amen. And amen.
You have been listening to a podcast from Wabash Presbyterian Church. For more sermons and resources, please visit us at wabashpresbyterian.com.